My teacher told me 12 years ago, can't believe it's been 12 years. He said, if you study the temple, not only will your life change, but you end up believing in Yeshua more.
Welcome to Walk Like a Hebrew. I'm Jody Odell. Hey, Hebrews. It's been a while. I haven't posted a new episode in a long time because it's been a wild and crazy year. I got a full-time job, and for the first time in my life, I understand just how time-consuming working full-time can be. But I did finally steal enough time here and there to finish this interview from Unleavened Bread 2022. Yep, a year and a half ago, Rico Cortez was the featured speaker at Safe Haven Farms in Arosi at the Feast of Matzot. I found him in the noisy kitchen one day. He was studying, but he was willing to answer my question. This time, I only had one question for Rico. Why would a modern Christian study the temple? All right, I'm here with Rico Cortez at Safe Haven Sustainable Farms in Arosi, California. How you doing, Rico?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yes. We are talking about the temple and why. Why should a modern believer, follower of Yeshua, bother themselves with studying the temple? I mean, we don't have a temple anymore. We're not Jewish people. We're just believers. We're followers of Yeshua. We read the Bible. Some of us study, some of us don't. But if we were to study, why would you recommend studying temple and temple service and temple things?
Okay, so let me ask you a question. The church, as well as people following Torah, they say we are the temple.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Because Paul said that.
Yeah, but he was talking to the ecclesia. He's talking to the overall group, not the individual.
Oh, that makes a difference.
Well, if you go to 1 Corinthians, it says it.
Okay.
To the ecclesia of Corinth. So okay. He's talking to a whole community. But going back to the question, how can we ourselves become a temple of God? How do we function then? See, if you don't study the physical, how would you know about the spiritual? So when people tell me I'm a temple of God and they eat pork, you're not studying the temple because God would never allow pork to be eaten in his temple.
So you've just defiled the temple.
Exactly. So we are commanded in Ezekiel 43. You will think that, oh, we follow Torah. We don't. Ezekiel 43 verse 6 says, and I heard someone speaking to me from the house. That's an idiom for the temple. And a man was standing beside me, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the Israelites to eternity. And they, the house of Israel, and their kings, shall not defile my holy name. So the temple is the throne, and is the resting place for God. Why would you not want to study the house of God where he would dwell? And then another question is, okay, so God is king of the earth. Then how would you learn the protocol of the king, how to approach a king? I mean, we pray to God as if we sometimes scream at him. We demand, we decree, you know,
yes,
in the name of Jesus
do.
Right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think we really have a clear understanding of protocols.
No, we do not.
But I want you to read verse 10 to 12. And I want to read it from yourself. Ezekiel 43, 10 to 12, okay? Now, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. So it's not Ezekiel speaking out of his own accord.
Okay.
Okay?
You, son of man, describe to the house of Israel the temple, and let them be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern.
Okay, so what was the iniquities that they made in the time of first temple period? Jeroboam and Rehoboam divided the kingdom. And Jeroboam divided, changed the calendar. Changed the location of the temple.
And he
changed
made
the feast.
The golden calves.
And he made priests from the regular people.
And he made the golden calves.
Right.
And said, these are your gods.
Right. Does it sound familiar to today?
It does sound familiar.
Okay, keep on.
And if they are ashamed of all that they did, then the plan of the temple and its arrangement and its exits and its entrances and all of its plans and all of its statutes and all of its plans and all of its laws, make known to them and write them before their eyes.
All of its laws. So how many commandments in the Torah?
613.
How many of those 613 are directly linked to the temple? And I ask...
That's a good question, because I don't know.
Great question. 279.
279 out of 613.
So, and there's another 150 indirectly connected to a temple.
Okay.
So now we have 45% of the biblical commandments directly linked to the temple. So now we argue about the new moon. It's temple related. We argue about the calendar. It's temple related. We argue about Passover. Temple related. We argue about Shavuot. Temple related. We argue about Yom Teruah. Temple related. We argue about Yom Kippur. Temple related. And Sukkot. Temple. Hanukkah. Temple related.
Temple. Mm-hmm.
So we argue about things that we don't study. So no wonder we have chaos.
No wonder we have chaos.
And the sad thing is that the kingdom is not valuing those who teach it to help them understand the plan.
Right.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
God is telling us to the house of Israel. Learn the temple. Learn the entrances, the exits, all its plans, and all the statutes. All its laws.
Its laws.
Did you know that Passover is a chukat pasach? In other words, it's a decree from a king.
Okay.
No one's supposed to change it. If you change the decree of a king, it's called ma'al. It's sacrilege.
And the penalty is?
The penalty, that's why Sabbath violation has a penalty of karet, which is cutting off.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Passover laws contain the penalty of karets. If only we knew that,
right,
we wouldn't have all this nonsense going on. Let me ask you this. Do the Jewish people argue about the Sabbath and the feast? I wonder why. Because they understand law. We don't. We understand theology, and we're victims of systems of religion that were wounded, and we don't want to go to the hub. We don't want to go to the root where the righteousness of God proceeds, which is the temple. And we quote it on Shabbat. Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah. But then we don't study the temple.
We don't study it.
Because ki mitzion, out of Zion shall come forth the Torah.
Mm.
Keep going.
Okay, where was I?
Verse 12.
Okay. This is the law of the temple. On the top of the mountain, all of its territory, all the way around it, will be most holy. Look, this is the law of the temple.
Aren't we commanded to study it?
We are.
We don't. Therefore, we're in chaos. We don't know how God thinks. We don't know how to pray to the Father in a manner that's pleasing to Him. If we do the Amidah, people think that we're converting to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
All it is a royal approach to speaking to the King.
Well, Americans don't understand monarchy. They don't understand protocols because we pride ourselves on our rugged individualism and our...
Yeah, what is that leading us today in America?
It's not working like
exactly
we hoped it would.
And the kingdom is imitating what the church is doing. The kingdom is imitating what the society is doing.
Right.
And we are supposed to be influencing our surroundings, and we are being influenced by them.
By them, yes, we are.
So temple study, for me, is pivotal to understand holiness, to understand protocols, to understand the principles of giving, roles.
Roles.
You know, I mean, have you ever considered, like, 1 year in Jerusalem, there were over 1.2 million people. That's the lambs they slaughtered 1 year.
Wow.
Another year, there was 256,500 lambs. Now, per lamb, minimum, is you cannot eat lamb by yourself.
No.
You cannot eat the Passover lamb by yourself. So it required a minimum of 10 or 20 max. Josephus and Alfred Edersheim talks about this. So if you multiply 256,500, that's over 2.5 million people in Jerusalem. That's a lot of people. So think about the logistics. So you use the expression, let's prepare the way. That's the language for heading to Jerusalem for the feast. What does that mean? Months before Passover, you know, the Levites and the priests are already preparing the highways, making sure all the sepulchres were marked so that people were not
get
ritually. Exactly.
Yes.
They will prepare all the mikvaot and on the water. They have kosher ovens all over the city, inside the city of Jerusalem,
to make
not only the matzah, but also to make the lambs, roast them. Think about the logistics. We are in a camp right now. We have about almost 200 people here.
Mm-hmm.
And you need logistics. There's a team. There's food. There's an itinerary. Now imagine 1.2 million people. And they're going up to the temple sometime during the whole week.
Right.
And you need to make sure you have enough animals for offerings for 2 million people. Flour, oil, grains, lambs, bulls, goats.
Well, and then handling all the garbage, the waste.
The garbage, but you're forgetting one. Where do we host thousands of priests that have to go up and their families? So now you need hotels.
They need a place to sleep. Exactly.
They need a place to stay. But because of laws of purity, they can't just stay anywhere. So now you have a whole hotel logistics, and everybody has to be on point. We don't think about that.
No.
So you study the temple so you learn how to run your life in an orderly fashion.
Order is a big deal.
If anything, is key to understand temple function. Because you order. That's why the feasts are an appointed time. You don't show up when you want to. And when God says. But now we change it.
We've gotten so arrogant. Yeah. So arrogant.
I know.
To think that we can just do whatever we want, not follow the protocols, not follow the order, not care, and still be acceptable.
How many people within the Torah world would respect if a Sanhedrin is established today in Jerusalem? They will say, no, they don't believe in Yeshua, so we don't have to follow them. Really? So how come James and Paul and Peter, they never complained about what was going on in the temple in the first century? They only made decisions in regards to the gospel and the people coming in, but they never, ever, 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 ever said anything bad about the temple, its functions, the commandments, nothing. Not one evidence in the New Testament about that. They lived Jewish lives like they always did. So why will we not respect the judicial order that God established in Exodus 18 and Deuteronomy 17? That's the number one problem. When I understood that, my life became orderly. Because now I'm no longer doing things according to my own way. You understand your place.
Yes.
I'm asking the questions just to make you think that
I'm thinking.
It's more than just, why should we study the temple? Well, Jesus, you know, he did away with all that stuff. First of all, it doesn't say that anywhere.
No, it doesn't.
And clearly, the sacrificial system was still going on after Yeshua died and resurrected. So we are at a mess. We don't know really what the Bible says. Can you blame Christians not wanting to follow Torah when we ourselves, who are supposed to be the signpost of instruction, we don't even understand it ourselves? The sad thing is not so much that we are learning, because we are all learning. That's okay. The sad thing is that when someone tries to bring any kind of correction, it's not accepted.
Right.
But in the church, we accepted everybody. So instead of responding by, what did you find out? Where's the resource? Let me validate that information. Like I had to do 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn to learn. I learned to learn. I learned that, I don't agree with you, but I'm not going to be quick to disagree. What did you find out again? Oh, I found out here, this is a source, and this is this. The Bible's here, is the context. Oh, I didn't know that. No wonder I made the wrong interpretation, because I didn't know the context.
Context.
It's everything. You know, it's like I tell everyone, just validate the information. My teacher told me 12 years ago, can't believe it's been 12 years. He said, if you study the temple, not only will your life change, but you end up believing in Yeshua more. And he was right.
That's a good reason to study the temple.
All of a sudden, everything makes sense. It's like, oh, get it. Mm-hmm. I get up in the morning now for the first time in my life, and I'm not out of mist trying to figure out who I am, where I'm going, what I'm supposed to do. For the first time in my life. My only mystery is death. It's like, not because I don't believe in resurrection, because I do. It's just that process of a transition.
Right.
Because it's a huge leap of faith.
Yes.
It's huge. We live this life and we love life. And to know that we have that we're all going to die until Messiah returns. But then it's like, what guarantees me that he's going to resurrect? We have a lot of faith. That we live our lives keeping his sacred space, eating clean, studying all this stuff, believing on a promise on a God we've never seen.
Right.
Believing on a promise of a son whom we never heard. That's faith. And I pray that it will be rewarded. How God will do it, it's not my place to know. I don't know. It's not my place to know. But that's my only quandary. It's like, how does that work? But it's not like I doubt resurrection. It's just I do not understand death. Because we were not created to die. We're created to live forever.
We're not created to die. We're created to live forever.
That is the curse of the law.
That's the curse. Oh my gosh.
You see? That's why Yeshua came to remove.
That's awesome.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So we do have to have a lot of faith to believe in the God we've never seen.
Yeah.
The evidence is there.
Well, and even a beginner who starts studying Torah.
True.
Faith that was so tiny for me in the mainstream church that was just like, grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. But this is just taking that to a whole, it's like leveling up.
Yeah.
You know.
Sadly, people give up on it too soon.
Because it's hard.
Yeah.
And our culture is very much about convenience and easiness and hiring things out and somebody else do it for me and all that. Yeah.
So that's why I study the temple.
That's wonderful.
I hope it was edifying to you.
Yes. And your teacher is?
Joseph Good.
Joseph Good.
Not only a good teacher, very 42 years doing this, but his humility inspires me to be a better student.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And what's your website?
WisdomInTorah.com.
WisdomInTorah.com.
WisdomInTorah.com. And I think if you want to have an app of the temple, consider my temple app on your app store. You can find it. You can put it on your phone. You can project it to your other. If you have Apple, I know you don't have Apple, so I'll pray for you.
I have Apple.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
They don't hear.
So you've been restored. Okay. So this is a integrate, you know, it's very cool app. You
beautiful.
Can go anywhere in the temple. See that floor right there?
Yes.
That's the latest discovery in archaeology about 3 years ago. I took the picture 2 years ago and we put it in there. So this is all archaeologically correct. And the research Joseph did for 42 years. And from a geographical, chronological, everything. So it's on the app store. Second temple. Put the word second temple. You'll find it.
Okay. So do you think they're going to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem soon?
Do we want Messiah to return?
Before Messiah returns.
No, my question was, do you want Messiah to return?
Oh, do we want? Oh, yes.
Okay, so you need the temple.
We got to have a temple, yes.
Because all hell breaks loose after the altar is defiled. The altar represents the authority of God.
Yes.
And then oppression will follow towards the Jewish people and anyone who keeps the commandment of God.
Okay.
There is.
So let's go build it.
We can't.
We got the plans.
But we can't. We got the plans.
I know.
The rabbi told me recently, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. A rabbi told me about 6 months ago, a rabbi friend of mine from Jerusalem, that he is one of the teachers of the temple. He uses the app. He goes, Rico, just thinking out loud, if we were to build a temple right now, we don't have a working model except yours. It's not mine. It's Joseph Good's research.
Right.
That we put it in an app.
Right.
We call it mine because I own the app. Me and Joe own the app. So because it's all archaeologically correct and up to scale, they will have a working model already.
Cool.
Can you imagine if they would use the research to restore the temple?
And that would be wonderful.
That would be cool.
Well, Joe Good, doesn't he consult? Isn't he a consultant for the Temple Institute?
He used to. Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Well, he used to. He made over 100 corrections for them. But they never gave him credit.
Really? Because he's messianic.
Because he believes in Yeshua, yeah. So I hope it answers your question. There's a lot more to discuss, but it's a good start.
It's a good start. Thank you so much,
Rico. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.